You're listening to a sneak peek into the most recent Chief Resident Incubator Hangout.
Hello all, and welcome to another installment of the Chief Resident Incubator Mentor Chat. Today we are lucky to have the very wonderful Rob Rogers to talk about staying smart while you are upholding all of your chiefly duties.
How to stay smart is a complicated topic, and I'll summarize 20 to 30 seconds. There's traditional ways to stay smart, which we'll talk about, journals, books, most of that boring stuff. And then there's the more exciting stuff, how to use social media, how to use Twitter, how to develop a personal learning network, conferences you should think about going to if you can go to conferences. And then we'll talk hopefully about podcasts, how to stay smart with podcasts. And I think that's going to be one of the take-home messages that I'll deliver is not only can you get great medical education from podcasts, but it's the non-traditional, the non-medical podcast that hopefully we have time to talk about. So although I'll talk about traditional stuff, I'm going to emphasize that all about thinking outside the box and knowing where the money is.
How do I take the time to set aside to actually continue my own education?
The traditional places where people think we go to get knowledge and learn and stay up to date, especially during a chief year that's very busy, is perhaps the worst way to do it. I think what we need to utilize are the things that we know can be done quickly. Time can be controlled by you, can be rewinded. Whenever you want to rewind that podcast, you can control it. So I'm assuming you exercise some, whether it's on a treadmill, bicycle, walking, whatever it is you do, you can keep up with this stuff and stay up to date, time to do it. And you can do that really, really easily with podcasts. What we do in social media, specifically Twitter, but also podcasts, it's kind of all interwoven, is, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I think we trust the experts in area X to vet us. And you could say, well, that's intellectually, you should read the journal article yourself. I mean, I can tell you, I used to think that when I was a chief, that as soon as I graduated, life was going to just be a piece of cake. It exponentially gets busier. It's just life. So you don't have all of this time to read journal articles day in and day out. You just don't. And I trust what they say. So I think the knowledge translation is much faster through social media and FOMED. You'll be doing things in clinical practice that previously would have taken you 5 to 10 years to do because you're waiting for it to come out in a journal. You're waiting for the big trial. You're waiting for it to be in a textbook. So the KT or the knowledge translation gets cut down significantly. Constantly on the phone, answering the phone, taking transfers, trying to teach your spouse. I mean, you've got all this stuff going on, and yet you're supposed to be the rock and be emotionally stable and have social intelligence. And I think this is much more important than your actual intelligence. Your IQ, I think, is less important than what's called your EQ or your SQ, your social intelligence. This guy Goldman talks about it, that you're probably going to get further in life your EQ than your IQ. Doctor, I'm set, I'm going to be fine. That's not true. Not having emotional intelligence is probably more important. And this would be the book. It's purple. It's just called Emotional Intelligence, Dan Goldman. That would be the source I would take you to. Changed my life. If a resident's going to come to you with a proposal to do something and you're not comfortable, you haven't heard about it, whatever it is, that maybe you should develop either your own personal, it's not a policy, but your own personal practice, that if they're going to come to you with something, they need to bring to you what this is, why we should be doing it, or they can point you to the podcast or the website. They sometimes don't even know where they got them from. So I think we have to kind of know where our learners are and where they get their information. And we should kind of be following along. I even tell educators who've been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years, 60 or 70, if you're teaching people and you don't know where learners get information, you're not an effective educator. I don't need to listen to podcasts. Well, your learners are listening to podcasts. You're not a successful educator. You have to know where they are, where they get it, and meet them in the middle. And I think if you actually try to figure out where residents are and where they get their information, it'll make your job so much easier. And you'll be surprised. Like, really? 80% of residents listen to this podcast? And then all of a sudden, not only are you learning what they know, and you're actually getting education for yourself. These are people who care about what they do. And so the things that are put together on the site is being discussed out there. Life in the Fast Lane is a great website. I think really good websites not only put out great content, but they also are the other places where the information is. So Life in the Fast Lane, Academic Life in EM, the MCRIT podcast with Scott Weingart, my business partner and friend, Salim Razay, who has Rebel EM, a great site in and of itself, but it's also got links to all the other rates. I think you need about 5 well-structured, well-vetted, highly respected sites. I think if you've got about 5 of them, a handful of them, then those are your go-to, and they put up the pertinent stuff. They put up the stuff we should be talking about. They tend to have the pulse on emergency medicine, critical care, and education.
This podcast is brought to you by EBSCO Health's DynaMed Plus. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.